"I'll stake my good name as a shikaree," said he, "that the track is a fresh one. The creature has not passed 10 minutes. Look how the water is still oozing into that deeper print. By Jove! See, here is the mark of a little one." Sure enough, smaller tracks of the same general form were running parallel to the large ones. "But what do you make of this?" cried Professor Summerlee, triumphantly, pointing to what looked like the huge print of a 5-fingered human hand appearing among the 3-toed marks. "Wealden!" cried Challenger in an ecstasy. "I've seen them in the Wealden clay. It is a creature walking erect upon 3-toed feet, and occasionally putting one of its 5-fingered forepaws upon the ground. Not a bird, my dear Roxton. Not a bird."
"A beast?"
"No, a reptile. A dinosaur. Nothing else could have left such a track. They puzzled a worthy Sussex doctor some 90 years ago. But who in the world could have hoped to have seen a sight like that?"
His words died away into a whisper, and we all stood in motionless amazement. Following the tracks, we had left the morass and passed through a screen of brushwood and trees. Beyond was an open glade, and in this were 5 of the most extraordinary creatures that I have ever seen. Crouching down among the bushes, we observed them at our leisure. There were, as I say, 5 of them, 2 being adults and 3 young ones. In size, they were enormous. Even the babies were as big as elephants, while the 2 large ones were far beyond all creatures I have ever seen. They had slate-colored skin, which was scaled like a lizard's and shimmered where the sun shone upon it. All 5 were sitting up, balancing themselves upon their broad, powerful tails and their huge 3-toed hind feet, while with their small 5-fingered front feet, they pulled down the branches upon which they browsed. I do not know that I can bring their appearance home to you better than by saying that they looked like monstrous kangaroos, 20 feet in length, and with skins like black crocodiles. I do not know how long we stayed motionless gazing at this marvelous spectacle. A strong wind blew towards us, and we were well concealed, so there was no chance of discovery. From time to time the little ones played round their parents in unwieldy gambols, the great beasts bounding into the air and falling with dull thuds upon the earth. The strength of the parents seemed to be limitless, for one of them, having some difficulty in reaching a bunch of foliage which grew upon a considerable-sized tree, put his forelegs round the trunk and tore it down as if it had been a sapling. The action seemed, as I thought, to show not only the great development of its muscles, but also the small one of its brain, for the whole weight came crashing down upon the top of it, and it uttered a series of shrill yelps to show that, big as it was, there was a limit to what it could endure. The incident made it think, apparently, that the neighborhood was dangerous, for it slowly lurched off through the wood, followed by its mate and its 3 enormous infants. We saw the shimmering, slaty gleam of their skins between the tree trunks, and their heads undulating high above the brushwood. Then they vanished from our sight.